everybody. Welcome to another warm fireside here of the Where's the Punch podcast, guys. I am joined by a couple of comics, and we are recording here at All-Star Sports Bar and Grill with a loudspeaker playing in the background. I don't even know who this band. You guys know who this band is?
No.
Nickelback?
I can't.
Nickelback.
I can't say that name. I wasn't going to. Even if I knew who that was, I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. So they're playing in the background, so I apologize for everybody's got to listen to Nickelback.
I know this is giving me one more thing to talk about in my suicide letter.
Yeah, you can just put that.
F-wording Nickelback play.
There we go. So, yeah, I am joined here tonight by a couple of the local comedians. Kylie Cook, who's headlining the show here tonight.
Hey there.
That's Kylie. And then Andrew Jensen, who is actually going to be hosting this show. Hosting this show. So, it'll be a lot of fun. This is a monthly show that we've been doing out here in the beautiful and scenic Twilla, Utah.
Well, America's playground.
America's
it's very nice.
Yes, it's everything that you've ever wanted and more. In one area. Apparently, we only have one road, according to Andrew Jensen.
So, there is one road.
One road.
That's it.
I can't believe they're paved.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Yeah, a couple years ago we got them paved.
I saw some carriages out there.
Yeah, we're really growing up out here, Twilla. Now I know there's probably a bunch of people at home Googling the word Twilla. Just so you know, it's spelled T-O-O-E-L-E. Because we're all illiterate, so
the W is implied.
Yeah.
Twilla.
Yeah. Thule is what everybody calls outside. So
I think Chardet named it.
Yeah. So we will actually be having Ben Fuller, the co-host of the show, will be joining us shortly. He is driving out here and did not calculate the drive time to get out here on time. So
he just left late.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's probably true. Just a normal day for
he's
Mr.
probably
Ben
on
Fuller.
Mushrooms or doing ecstasy somewhere.
Driving the car.
Oh, I gotta go to a podcast.
Driving a bus full of kids around.
Yeah,
on mushrooms.
On mushrooms.
Drinking orange juice.
Yeah. So, just a real recap of this podcast, everybody. We do this podcast every couple weeks. The whole premise behind the podcast is kind of sit down with some comedians, talk about joke writing, and then kind of the process they go through to write jokes. And then on the back end of that, we talk about any jokes that they have that they've been working on that maybe we can help each other out. So we kind of roundtable that and try to help each other write some jokes. Does that sound good to you guys?
Sounds awesome.
Fantastic. Right. So I'm going to start off with the silky voice of Mr. Kylie Cook over here.
Oh,
that's you.
Silky. Don't mock me.
Silky voice.
My lazy eye.
Now, Kylie, I see a very in-depth piece of paper over there with lots of notes on it. But take us through your joke writing process. How do you write jokes?
My joke writing process, not much of a process, I'll be honest. I'll think something funny, a humorous subject. I usually will jot it down if I don't think I'll remember. Uh-huh. And then later I'll tweak. You got to tweak the end to make it funny. Because sometimes a little life story necessarily isn't funny to strangers. So you got to tweak it, work with the words.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, sometimes you'll say it, and it doesn't get a very good reaction, but if you just switch one word to the end of the sentence, it gets a bigger reaction.
Oh, yeah.
It hits harder.
Try to get that punch at the very end.
Yeah.
As far to the end as you possibly can, right?
Yeah. So as far as sitting down and actually writing, I don't really do that too much. I know a lot of comics do.
Yeah? You just sit down at a desk?
I'll try to work it out, and then I'll try it out in front of people.
With a feather pen? Scrolling it out.
Dip it in the ink.
I think he has a scribe, actually.
Scribe. You have a scribe?
Yeah, we use those scrolls we pull apart.
Yeah.
You send them in a tube. My set list is in a tube.
What I usually do is I end up going to court, and then I just have the, what's the guy? The
stenographer.
Stenographer. I just do all my joke premises in front of him, and he
shorthands the shit out of it.
Shorthanded.
Did you hear about the stenographer? How do you say it? I'm from Kern.
I don't know.
The guy that does that. I read about this on CNN the other day. He went rogue.
I read about this too.
Did you read this? And the whole time of the court, the trial's going on, all he wrote was, "I hate my job."
Yeah.
I hate my job. Over and over.
I did see it. I didn't read the whole thing.
That's hilarious.
Which would suck. Could you imagine doing that for like 8 hours a day, just typing what people say?
Brutal. I don't even like repeat what happens.
And you're just sitting there like, no one wants to hear me. I got things I want to say.
Yeah.
But he just has to listen to everybody else.
Think of how he is at home. Probably yelling at his kids.
Yeah.
You will listen to me.
You will listen to me. You write that down too. Write that down. It makes all the kids write it down.
He's got no control over who listens to him. Doesn't even have a chance to talk at work.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. That would be brutal. That would be wrong.
A really crappy job.
Yeah. So what do you, when you come up with a premise, like what happens then? So you come up with an idea of something that you think's funny. Now what happens?
I think I just try to make it where the punch is.
Huh?
Or sometimes I'll come up with a punchline and work backwards and try to think of what led me to that line.
Yeah, I do that a lot where I'll... That's probably 50% of my jokes. I just thought of something that was funny to say. And I'm like, oh, that would be a great punchline. And then I go...
Work backwards.
Now how am I going to have people understand the set? I got to write a setup for it.
That's how a lot of mine are. I'll think of... Because my girlfriend, she's got to listen to it all the time. I'll just blurt out random stuff all the time because my brain's always going.
Uh-huh.
But then some of that stuff I think's funny. But then, like you said, you got to work backwards and figure out how you got there.
Yeah.
See, yeah. Silliness.
That's fantastic.
Like one time I thought, the joke never worked really well, but I thought just it would be funny that the Judge Joe Brown show, remember Judge Joe Brown?
Uh-huh, yeah.
To boost race ratings, they said that they killed off the Judge Joe Brown character. And I just had the character part, and I was like,
there we go.
So I had to think of the ratings
as
part.
If it's a character. Well, Mr. Ben Fuller's here with his shiny, bright, smiley face. How we doing, Ben?
Look how nice he's dressed.
I'm actually dressed today.
He's wearing clothes, not a robe,
happy
but
clothes.
Happy
to be here in the most inconveniently located city in the world.
In the world. It's not if you live here.
Let's put it 30 miles away from the main.
You know what's inconvenient? Salt Lake. That's inconvenient to me.
Yeah, but like where the money is, buddy.
You know, it's anger.
Yeah, we're really.
I wrote him like 4 hours ago. What time? Nothing. Like, all right, we'll get there about 6:30. I'm leaving the house.
Oh, here
we're
go.
Be late for the podcast.
This is the abusive
we've
part
been killing
of the,
it, so
of the
you
relationship.
Missed out on some amazing stuff so far.
Excellent.
It's been mostly background music, actually.
Yeah, it's been pretty loud, so.
Either this or the bowling and the kids.
Yeah. So, we're excited to have Ben here. Glad to have him, the co-host of the show, finally here on the podcast. Fantastic. We're enjoying it.
Happy to be here.
We were just talking to Kylie about writing jokes.
Okay.
And,
fair enough.
He went through his whole joke writing process.
The whole thing.
Which was bad.
Which I'm stealing now.
Yeah, which you're stealing that.
It's probably less than what you do.
I have a...
You're stealing less work?
Exactly.
You got to go to his seminars to get the real...
I'll pay you the money. Get
this,
your DVD.
This was just enough to get you hooked.
A slice of pizza.
Yep.
Oh, I go for the pizza.
So, Kylie, do you have anything that you're currently writing, working on? Any premises that... Anything that you think is funny?
I can't think of anything.
You can't think of anything? What's something like? What's a joke that you've got that maybe you wish was? More
I don't know.
Punchy?
Well, actually, something I thought about today earlier. I'll try to slip in tonight somehow. Talking about dating, questions you ask on the first date.
Uh-huh.
Which high school did you go to? Do you like hiking? Do you like the smell of chloroform?
Yeah,
it's a standard question. I'll try.
Those are good questions.
The standard one. And who doesn't like it?
Does anyone need a drink? You guys doing okay?
Yeah, I think we're doing fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, though.
And that was Amanda, our awesome waitress, coming up to see how we're doing on the podcast.
What her process is for jokes.
For joke writing and stuff. So, questions on first dates, right? Like, if you like the smell of chloroform, huh? I mean...
I just think that's a funny idea. I don't know how funny it would be, but...
We'll find out tonight.
It is funny. Yeah.
So you built up any resistance to penicillin?
Yeah.
They're like really detailed.
You know what I hate is when you think of something, like you think, oh, this is a gem, right? And you get to the show and do it, and it says silence.
Yeah, that's
like everyone stares at you.
Yeah, I was thinking you could do, on that joke, you could do maybe it was like, do like a series of questions that she asked you, right? Like, and then you go, okay, great, now I answer your question. I just have one question for you. Do you like the smell of chloroform, right? Like
that's it.
Like that's the one question.
As you're making ketchup sideburns.
Yeah. She's going through, well, if you were to name a boy, what would his name be? And all these things. And then I just have one question. Are you okay with chloroform? Are you immune?
What's that?
You allergic to chloroform?
Are you allergic?
What's your
I don't want to kill you, but I want you knocked out.
Are you pro date rape or what's your stance on that?
What's your stance on date rape?
What's your
rape? That's funny.
What's your stance on date rape?
Are you on the fence about that?
And which side of the fence? How close?
Which side? So you can keep asking a series of like really creepy questions like that kind of lead up to the chloroform. Like eventually you're just like, can I just
do you like nylon rope or
you prefer? You could be like,
what's the other kind of rope? I don't know.
I haven't worked out a lot. Is it okay if I bring a friend?
Do you think I would look good if I put pantyhose rope on my face? Is that something that you might dig?
Does that turn you
is that
on?
Something you're into?
This went dark quick.
How would you feel sitting at the bottom of a well? How would that
She'd be like, what have you had?
Have you had any experience at the bottom of a well?
I mean, yeah, have you? Tell me about your well history.
Jessica, speaking of that, she just got married. Did you see that?
That's good to know.
She was at the bottom of a well for a while.
Jeez. See, there's hope for everyone, right?
Were you alive when that happened? Wasn't she like a year and a half? She's stuck in this well.
I don't know if it was that long, but it's sure
she was
seemed
stuck
like
in the well for a year and a half.
Oh, I mean, a week and a half. Sorry,
I was going to say like a permanent.
A year and a half.
Hit her leg. After that.
She's in the well
like
for a year.
Folded over down there.
You know when you sit on a couch for a long time, you get up and then like the grooves of the couch are on you. She probably had that from the stones from the well.
Looks like she had herpes.
These are well marks.
Herpes news. I was in a well.
That's awesome. What about you, Andrew? Now you're an improv guy mostly, right? Yeah. You've been dabbling in some stand-up.
I do stand-up more often than I used to, yes.
Yeah, I saw you a couple months ago at the show over there in Lumpy's.
Yeah.
And you did a really good job. Being an improv guy, you might have a different process.
Very similar. I come up with an idea, and then the only way I can do it is get on stage and talk through it. And then find out exactly what you said.
Yeah,
where
I have to
the
talk
funny
through
part
my stuff.
Is. And for me, it's hard for me because I never really say the same thing the same twice.
Yeah.
I kind of do. I just write down like an idea. I'm like, I think that's funny. But I'm all about stories.
Yeah.
So I'll just be like, I'm going to talk about this or this idea. But I mostly talk about my wife now.
Yeah.
So,
does she come to your shows?
No. That's why it's great.
Yeah. That's why it works.
I can say all sorts of shit.
Real and not real,
yeah,
right?
Real and not real, yeah. So, yeah, that's really what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I dabbled once. I said, hey, give me an idea and I'll just do some stand-up on it. But it didn't go over as well.
When you were on stage?
When I was on stage, yeah. Just tell me, what do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, and I'm completely terrified of doing that. Like, you should see my crowd work. I do the worst crowd work in the world. I get up there because I'm just so, like, I don't like to go out because I don't like to have, I'm just not quick enough to just think on my feet, right? So going out into the crowd and getting stuff just scares me to death.
Yeah, that was when I first started. That was the most nervous part of doing stand up. I'm like, I hope people don't talk to me while I'm up here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you're just trying to remember everything that you you got your own stuff. You're just trying to remember that. But after years, you get that down. I actually like, if my brain's going quick enough, I like those nights when the audience participates.
Yeah, I love it when they talk. It's my favorite thing.
It's like we're just kind of hanging out at that point.
Yeah.
But then,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, just at the beginning of the show, too, you can figure that out. When you get up at the first, I always try to fish a little bit, and if I'm getting nothing, I'm like, I'm just going to have to do my own jokes.
No.
It's true.
But, if they don't give you anything, if they don't interact with you, a lot of times they just want to watch it. But a lot of times people just come and have fun, so and we'll talk.
Bar shows are a little different. Like, that's why I like bar shows a lot. You usually get talkers, people that talk. When there's drinkers, talkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories to tell, and I might have said it on this podcast before, was Jerry Mabbitt. We saw him one Sunday night at Wise Guys.
Yeah,
and it was a dead audience. There was no energy in that audience. Jerry spent the first, 35 minutes of his set just doing crowd work. Just trying
just trying to get him going.
Just, he has a list of things that he does with the crowd, and he was just going through them. He was just pounding it. Finally, they were engaged, and then he went into his act. It was pretty impressive. I tell people, that's why you need crowd work.
Good comics can figure out a room and bring them up to their level or their speed or whatever.
Yeah, he wasn't going to waste his jokes until
until
the audience was listening.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. You're wasting them. You can use your best jokes at the beginning, and if you don't got them, then you're just
that's a good point.
It was really inspiring. That was pretty awesome.
Jerry's good. There's a lot of comics watching. Where I go and watch a show, and I get more out of it just the jokes. I'm watching how they deal with the audience and stuff, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a...
It's that stage persona, and the people like you. You can say whatever joke you want, as long as they're on your side.
Yeah, you can get away with...
You can get away with anything.
Well, it's all charm. It's connecting with the audience. Once they feel like they know you, like Andrew says, you can do whatever you want. You can not even be funny. But...
Yeah, my favorite crowd worker comics is, hey, who has a birthday today? Oh, you have a birthday?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a birthday joke.
Yeah, it's like it has nothing to do with the audience. They just ignore the answer and go on to.
I've seen comics too that whatever joke they have lined up, they ask the direct question to the audience. There's a guy from Provo.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's how I do crowd work, by the way.
I just saw you at Trolley a couple weeks ago.
I was about to say, I'm like, I remember, I'm like thinking now, who does,
I have like six or seven of them. And what I do is I'll go in, this is what I do. This is my strategy.
My wife.
This is my strategy.
Well, if you got enough jokes.
And I ask them something that I know I have a joke about,
yeah,
right?
I was gonna say.
And if they say something that I know I can riff on and have fun with, then I'll go with it. But a lot of times you'll ask somebody like, you know, hey, what do you like to do for fun? And they're like, you know, hate you. That's what those, you know, and you're just like, okay. And then you move. What do you, I mean? So at that point, then I
hate
can interview.
You.
I can
just can you get the website? People that hate you. So
I saw a comic once. He only had obviously one question that led to a joke, and he asked like three different people right after.
Really?
And then it would try to get the answer.
He wanted the right answer.
That's so funny.
It was horrible. But yeah, like you said, if you got enough jokes, I talked to Brian Kellen. He opens for George Lopez quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
I was asking him I'm like, you're awesome with the crowd. And he said, it's just because I have a ton of jokes that cover different subjects. So when he goes to the audience, he can recall that stuff.
That's kind of what improv is, though, too. My understanding.
Yeah, no, totally.
Andrew, is that you have the you have a lot of situations.
What's up, John Morrison?
John Morrison, how's it going?
John Morrison joining us here at the podcast.
You live out here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, out here to see the.
So he says.
So he says.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, exactly. Improv is all about that stuff. That's why I learned a lot of crowd work from doing improv.
So I was going to say.
You have responses that you then play around inside of it.
But you have a lot, like, you've stored or you can.
Yeah, and if you've done improv over the years, because you ask the audience so many questions. Unlike stand up, you do a little bit, but with improv, it's all about the audience interaction.
Yeah, because you got to go.
So you're like, give me this, tell me this, tell me this, what are we going to do with it? And so you learn to play with their answers a lot. You know, like, that's one of the things I love is when I do improv, I'll ask them a question and then make fun of their response. It's like my favorite thing. Because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, instantaneously when you ask them, hey, where, you know, what do you do, where are you from? And they say something and then you make fun of them. But they know it.
Yeah.
They know as soon as they speak up.
Well, what's great, too, is it doesn't matter what they respond, you can make fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, it could be the most serious thing in the world. And that's
and
the
you
best
can still,
time.
Yeah.
And those are the even better ones.
Yeah. Like, as long as you do in a fun way, the audience
is they're totally with you.
Yeah. I've seen comics where they'll be mean and turn the whole audience.
Oh, yeah. Those are, it's fun. It's
as long as you're fun.
Those, yeah.
Yeah. As long as you're doing it fun, you're nice, and they're having fun, and the audience is with you.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, you got anything that you're working on? Any premises that you've got?
Yeah, I have one that I haven't really worked on a ton. In fact, I haven't even done it in front of a crowd yet. It's about dating as a couple, like how you have to... Because now that I'm married and, like, you don't really hang out with single people anymore, but you also, like, you have to hang out with a couple that the guy can get along with the girl, or the guy can get along with the guy and the girl can get along with the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Or else it sucks. Or else you don't hang out with those people.
It's the worst night of Applebee's ever.
Because, like, my wife will get along with this girl and it's fine, but then I can't get along with a guy and then we just never hang out. So you have to actually... You know, think about your dates that you're having with these people. So.
There should be like a match.com for couple dating. Yeah. Like,
so the guy's like this.
Couple match.
Like a
double date.
It's called Craigslist.
It's called Craigslist. Oh, yeah.
Swingers.com.
Okay. I was thinking something more innocent, but yeah, you could do.
I was a joke. I'm not a swinger. Calm down, Jamie. We're trying to work out jokes here, and you're getting all serious about, like, making love with a dude. Right?
That's because Kathy's putting a lot of pressure on
me. I'm sorry.
Pressure, guys. I'm under a lot of pressure right now.
Swinging sounds like a red button subject.
What else would be...
It sounds like you probably brought up the idea with your wife, and she got not as mad as you thought she would.
She's like, oh, man, I've been waiting for you to say this.
She's got a list.
Yeah, exactly.
And the problem with it is all the guys are good looking and their wives.
She's like, I have one question for you. Are you allergic to chloroform?
That was a callback. What Andrew just did.
It was callback.
Yes.
Whoa.
Callback. For those that don't know what a callback is, you want to explain what a callback is?
Callbacks.
Huh? Does anybody want to explain a callback?
Callbacks are good, and the audience is like, I was there for that. Hilarious. I told them that.
I told them that one. I added to the show.
I added. I'm special.
So yeah, not. The double dates are those are always interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got a profile. You have to fill out a profile of what you two like and find random people that like the same thing.
Yeah. See, this is what Jamie swings back to this pre-prepared joke that he was doing that we offload. He took off road and totally screwed up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What were you saying? I
there was a premise behind this whole podcast, and so
no, that makes sense. That's my problem though. Is I never write down. I don't do punchlines. I have a hard time with punchlines. I just talk.
That's why I love Andrew. Yeah.
That
is beautiful eyes.
I do have beautiful eyes.
But I, yeah, fantastic. It's true. I struggle in that situation because sometimes I'll talk and I might be funny just the way I'm talking, and then there's no punchline, there's no end to it, and then the crowd's like, oh. They're like, "That's great, you guys, great to listen to." Oh, he has nothing to say.
Yeah. So that's funny. I was doing a show one time. I was headlining, and the show was going great, right? I'm like, and then you get to the point where you think I can say whatever I want, right? And it's going to work. And I started a story. Got a couple laughs, and then I realized I didn't know how to finish it, so I just stopped and I go, "And we all had a nice day." And it was dead silent, and the only people I could hear laughing were the other comics in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a comedian, you know you're doing bad when you can just hear the comedian.
Only comics,
because comics only laugh at other comics when they're doing something terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they're like, "What the hell did he just say?"
We'll just watch it. Each other's awkwardness and laugh.
We just like to watch each other jump off cliffs.
It's true. I find myself laughing more at weird, obscure moments that comics do, and there's no other laughter but me when I'm like, oh.
Doing that roadkill show at the complex, that was me for 4 years. There's never an audience. It was just comics hating being on that stage. And
That was a hard room. That was a hard room.
I heard that. I never went to it. But
and I usually do well in hard rooms because I can just kind of riff. And even that room, I'd be like, oh, my God, you guys, nothing. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
No matter what I say.
So real quick, we had somebody suggest. I put it out there on Facebook today for a suggestion of something that we could write about, right?
Okay.
And the only response we got, which I thought was ironic, was David Pate put on there, why don't you talk about how comedians always have podcasts.
Yeah. Have you heard David Pate's podcast?
No, I haven't heard his podcast.
Is it good?
It's a podcast. It's not good.
You know, it's funny. My son, he's 8, in the car he's like, "What's a podcast?" And I go, "I think every comic has one."
Yeah.
He's saying, "A podcast is this." He's like, "Oh, I have one of those."
Yeah. Well, 8-year-old. Oh. I'm like, "It's a talk show." Okay, and then he wasn't interested.
It goes along with your headshot with your microphone. As you're holding the microphone.
Yeah, why is that a big debate lately?
Because that's just a pet peeve of mine.
Like I've heard multiple people talk about it.
I know.
A headshot with
comics with holding a mic in their headshot.
I would rather them hold a mic than have their shirt open.
That's true.
Showing off their P90X.
Whoa. That was my...
I would show off my Ethiopian albino body.
Like 3 years ago, there were like 5 comics that...
I wanted to do a swimsuit calendar, like with comics, like...
Oh,
like comics?
And just in their natural, like just the ones with the really bad bodies, just get them up there. The real face of comedy. Real bodies
long
of comedy.
Beards, dirty shirts.
Yeah. We should do a calendar, a 12-month calendar of
comics. That's a pretty funny idea.
Yeah, that would be
pretty
good.
Funny.
That would be great.
Anyway, you guys got anything? This is your time to plug stuff. Kylie, you got anything you want to plug? You got
I just have some shows in Preston, Idaho in a few weeks. I'm topping Tooele with Preston, Idaho.
Nice.
Sweet.
And then that's not for a few weeks. I got nothing really locally around here.
Where can people follow you? Any place? Just find you on
Kylie
Facebook.
Kylie Cook.
Kylie Cook. Just look
it
up.
Like Riley with a K.
There you go.
Kylie Cook. I'm a dude.
I'm
probably the only dude Kylie Cook on there.
Andrew, you got anything? You got anything you want to talk about?
April 25th. It's a Friday night at the Sugar Space downtown.
Yeah.
We're doing a show. It's a sketch stand-up improv show.
Is it Sketchophrenia?
Kind of. We're bringing Sketchophrenia is going to do the sketch. And then improv. And then some improv from Ogden that are coming down called Sasquatch Cowboy. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get real improv into this Salt Lake Valley, not like... Whose Line Is It Anyway? Improv.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
It'll happen. Don't worry. It's gonna change.
I believe you'll stick with it. It's Utah.
It's Utah.
It's like Jack Nicholson, the end of China.
I know. I get it.
Where can people find you?
Toy Soup Comedy on Facebook.
Okay.
Toy Soup Comedy on YouTube or Andrew Jensen on Vimeo because I do a lot of video stuff.
Sweet. How about you, Ben? What's coming up for you? Anything?
I have nothing.
You can find it at nothing.com.
You can find him at nothing.com.
You can follow me on Twitter where nobody pays attention to me.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, no one pays attention to Twitter.
/ Job Faust, JobFaust. Cool. It should sum up my entire Twitter feed.
I also sell Indian jewelry off a blanket at a rest area.
That's so awesome. Which rest area?
Highway 6. Stop by.
Okay. All right, everybody. I'm going to cut it off right there. Thanks, everybody, for joining and listening in to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. Look for us on Podomatic. Thanks, everybody. Let's go.